In the marriage ceremony, one of the vows that maybe is doesn't get as much attention or focus, one of the promises is till death do us part. Or, you know, I'll remain with you for the entirety of my life here on earth. And you might think that the hardest part of marriage is maybe being open to life and raising children or staying faithful to one another during your whole life, but there's also that other promise we make that at death, something changes in our relationship. We're no longer one as we were when we were married on earth. It's a very difficult part of marriage. And I don't think it gets as much attention. The fact that marriage is just for this earth, this life. And it has a purpose, not just of, you know, making the spouses, you know, more happy and joyful and loving, but actually helping each other grow in love for God. That's the primary purpose of marriage. You want to get your spouse to heaven. You want to help them fall more in love with God, far more in love with God than they are with you, so that when one of your lives ends, you freely give them, saying, Lord, hey, I have prepared this person for you and helped in that process. Very difficult. And anyone who's either personally lost a spouse or seen a family member or a close friend lose their spouse, you know it's a very difficult time, which is a good thing. You know, marriages that are strong, and even if they're not, sometimes when the spouse dies, you feel that loss, that change. It's so drastic that a phenomenon occurs often in nursing homes where a husband and wife are together, both very, very advanced in years, close to death at any moment. When one dies, it's very frequent that the other spouse will die shortly after. Again, this just happens in nursing homes where both husband and wife are very, very close to the end of their life, and very, very old. But you know, they're only holding on for one another. And then they recognize, when my spouse goes, my work is done, and they will go as well. Very beautiful. But then there are times when you can tell something's wrong. And maybe you've experienced this yourself or seen this, that when someone's spouse dies when they're younger, that the person will not be able to find a way to go on. They'll be overcome by not just that usual mourning and grief and even depression for a time as they readjust, but they can't seem to break free from it. I think this is going to become more common as time goes on, because our world, our culture, at least this culture, has lost this reality about marriage, that it has a purpose of helping your spouse grow in love for God, preparing them for heaven. Instead, I mean, what do you see these days? Romance and relationships seem to be all about finding your fulfillment in that other person, almost making them your God. Certainly the way romantic movies and things like that go, it's like, oh, you're my everything. We'll be together forever and ever. It's like, no, once at the end of this life, that oneness is done. The purpose of that sacrament is achieved. You work to get each other to heaven. And, you know, sometimes I've even personally known people who just, even though they're young and widowed, they just want to go to heaven. They just want to die so they can be with their spouse. Like, that's how extreme, like, their sadness will be in missing from that. I mean, again, it's not all bad. When you lose your spouse, it's very, very difficult. I'll never be able to imagine that. But something's wrong if you don't find a reason to live anymore. Because then your goal must not have been to fall in love with God. If all you want to do when you go to heaven is be reunited with your spouse, well, what about God? Because actually, in heaven, there will not be marriage. We heard that in today's gospel. That bond will no longer continue. Now, are you going to, like, ignore your spouse in heaven? No. We don't really know how it's going to work. But you're not going to seek fulfillment or love from them anymore. You're both going to be, I mean, us and all the saints will be somehow aware of each other's presence, but totally focused and totally consumed by God. We won't have any other needs. So if on this earth, spouses forget this reality that, you know, marriage is really about doing whatever it takes, giving up whatever is required to help my spouse love God more and get to heaven, then you won't maybe even look forward to being with God in heaven. watch that. For those who are married, yes, but you know, here, the university parish, we've got some college students here, lots, who might still be discerning your vocation. Most of you called to marriage. It's just the way it works. Don't forget to think about this part. Don't treat your spouse like God, or your boyfriend or girlfriend like God, right? Don't seek all your fulfillment from that person. It happens frequently, I think. For example, ladies and gentlemen who are maybe dating, you spend significantly more time with your boyfriend or girlfriend than you do with the Lord in prayer. You know, you go on dates multiple times a week, and maybe daily mass has never even crossed your mind. You want to kind of, obviously, you're going to end up spending more time in the presence of your boyfriend or girlfriend than probably in the church, because sometimes you're working together, you're doing other things that require you to be away. But if your focus is so much on your boyfriend or your girlfriend that the Lord is kind of just in the back burner, you know, we'll worry about him when Father Zabel makes us go through marriage prep. And it's not good, because you're setting yourself up for, well, yeah, failure. Ultimately, not preparing your spouse to fall so deeply in love with God that he or she wants to go to heaven at the end of their life, and you are happy to wait as long as it takes for that point to come in your life as well. I just want to leave you with one practical thing to consider that will help you prepare for living this aspect of marriage well, or even if you're already married, to keep growing in that, the fact that until death do us part. And that is, do you pray together? Now, grace before meals is a great place to start, yes. And then coming to Mass together, you know, that should be number one. But then throughout the rest of the week, do you and your spouse ever get together to say a rosary maybe? Maybe if that's too much, maybe Our Father, Hail Mary, and Glory Be while you're at the bedside. If you're married, if you're not married, maybe, you know, you go for a walk and pray a rosary. Maybe you go to daily mass together. Holy hours? What better way to prepare or prayer for marriage or to strengthen your marriage than to say, honey, let's do a holy hour once a week together. We'll go in there, you know, because you might be like, Father, we have different prayer styles. Don't make us pray together. It doesn't work out. Why don't you be together in a place where you can pray your own ways, but be together? What are you doing? You're holding each other accountable to that. You're pushing each other, saying, hey, honey, you need to pray, I need to pray. Let's commit together to going and doing something. That way neither of us can get away as easily with being lazy about keeping the Lord at the center of our relationship. Do you pray together? You know, if you're not married, you're dating, and your boyfriend or girlfriend doesn't want to pray with you, adios. Yeah, I mean, just think, that is a recipe for disaster right there. If they don't even want God to be a part of the relationship, there's no way he's going to be the focus of it, and you're going to be really, that's not going to last. And if they are willing to pray together and they're not perfect at it, just see if they're willing to grow. You and your boyfriend or girlfriend together, and spouses, you know, if you're not praying together outside of, you know, meal times and maybe coming to Mass together, husbands, it's your job to do this. So you just got to step up and be like, honey, we're praying. That's how we're going to do it. But ladies, if your husband's kind of dragging his feet, you might have to give him a swift kick in the rear. You can be the first one to bring it up. One of you today is going to have to walk away with that commitment. Like, I'm going to be the one who brings this up first. We need to pray. It doesn't have to be a lot. Whenever you're together, make it work. Something small. You know, small is just praying and Our Father, Hail Mary, Glory to Be together. Or you start the day or at the end of the day. Maybe some of you guys have had us over for dinner and we've taught you how to pray night prayer. It's like pre-packaged, nice and easy. Pray that together. Or maybe you go as big as, honey, let's go to daily mass together once a week. Let's maybe get a babysitter for the kids or bring them to daily mass. We love crying babies here at this church. Maybe even come to a holy hour once a week. Something like that. Put the Lord at the center of your life. Because what will happen then is when, inevitably, one of you dies before the other, you won't be alone. The Lord will be with you. You'll feel that loss. It'll break your heart as it should. There'll be a big time of readjustment, and you'll never be the same. But you won't be alone. You won't give up. You won't be like some folks who can't seem to find a reason to live when their spouse is gone because they, maybe without realizing it, made their spouse into God. Put God at the center now. Even better would be before you enter into marriage. That way he can be with you. You'll actually both grow in love for him. And then at the end of your life, you'll be so much more prepared to say yes to the Lord when he asks you if you want to be with him forever in heaven. And you will find that you brought your other spouse along as well, and maybe even more so, your children.